Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from Vassar Brothers Medical Center, the only hospital between Yonkers and Canada offering Makoplasty, the newest robotic surgical system for hip replacement and partial knee resurfacing. health-quest.org/VBMC ortho.
And thank you for joining us today on Vox Pop. I'm Brian Shields. It's Medical Monday. In the studio with us today is Dr. Pablo Lopez. Dr. Lopez is a board-certified family medicine physician with Ellis Primary Care in Schenectady. He provides comprehensive care through every stage of life, from regular checkups and immunizations to sick visits and healthy living education. Dr. Lopez earned his medical degree from Autonomous University of Guadalajara in Mexico, completed his residency at St. Clair's in Schenectady. He is board certified by the American Board of Family Medicine. The number to call, 800-348-2551. Again, the number to call on Vox Pop today, Medical Monday, 800-348-2551. By the way, you can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on your Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC, and you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. And there's always the telephone, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Dr. Lopez, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
What is primary care? I think I know what it is. I think most people know what it is. It used to, sometimes it's called family practice. I guess it used to be called internal medicine a while ago.
Internal medicine is more towards adult care, whereas family medicine can involve, you know, OB, pediatrics. It's the whole picture.
General practitioner?
Kind of, but we do go through 3 years of residency after we finish medical school. So there is a special training after you finish medical school. General practitioner is more of you finish med school, you get a license, you go practice. So we go through certain training after that.
What attracted you to that field?
Well, one of the things that specifically that actually is that I can see everyone, you know, and you get involved with the entire family. And that is really nice. You know, when you see the newborn babies and then, you know, 20 years from then, they can continue, you know, after that, they continue to be your patients. And you see grandma, you see grandpa, you see aunt, uncle, mom. So it's the whole circle. And it's very rewarding to do that.
800-348-2551 is the number to call. It's 800-348-2551. Family medicine physician with Ellis Primary Care, Dr. Pablo Lopez is our guest. The lines are open at 800-348-2551. We were mentioning briefly before the program about the flu. Have you seen a lot of it yet?
It started to pick up around, you know, past couple of weeks. We've seen a few more cases than early in the season. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to sit and wait how things go. But so far, it's okay.
And the flu is not necessarily the flu. People come in with a bad cold.
Right.
Say,
yeah.
I've got the flu. No, you don't have the flu. The flu has to be lab tested and lab confirmed.
Well, you can confirm. You can go by symptoms too, but you can confirm definitely with some lab test. Mm-hmm. You know, it all depends on the severity of the symptoms. But yes, you're right. We can confirm it with blood work.
And I think I remember reading something this year. It's kind of a tricky flu. It sort of dodged the vaccine a little bit, or
it's somewhat like that. It's always tough. You know, it's a vaccine that is made on a yearly basis. Pretty much guessing what are the strains that will be affecting the population the most. So every year we hope that we do the right thing and we, you know, come up with the right vaccine. But it's always kind of a mystery, you know. So we'll see.
800-348-2551 is the number to call today on Medical Monday, 800-348-2551. I would think someone in your line of medicine would have to know a little about a lot.
And that's exactly probably how they describe us.
Or even a lot about a lot. I mean, someone comes in and says, I've got a headache. I mean, that could be so many things. How do you get that down to what it really is?
And that's primary care. Primary care is we're the gateway of, you know, what are we going to do? You know, are we keeping this patient? Are we treating this patient by ourselves? Or, you know, is this patient now out of our expertise and, you know, we have to refer the patient and where do we send the patient? So yes, we are that front line. And so we do that a lot. Yes, so we have to know either a bit or a lot about everything.
The number to call, 800-348-2551. We start in Troy with Mary Kate. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Question about flu shots and shingle shots and other vaccines that just seem to be more and more and more promoted lately. A, do you believe in them? And B, I guess I'm just playing devil's advocate, but it seems like the pharmaceutical companies are almost creating vaccines for, or creating illnesses so they can sell a certain vaccine for them.
Well, I'm not sure about creating illnesses, but I'm a firm believer of vaccination. You know, I have two young kids and they all are vaccinated, but you know, if we go back in history and we look at what have we eradicated with vaccinations, it's quite impressive, you know. And to give you an example, the stock vaccine for polio being developed years and years ago, that has almost eradicated the disease almost completely. It's interesting. An interesting fact about that is that Dr. Salk, the person who came up with that vaccination, never made a penny out of that. And the calculated money that he would have made if he actually would have created some sort of patent for that vaccine would have been billions of dollars. And so from that end, you know, it's interesting, you know, the point that you bring in terms of what pharmaceutical companies, yeah, I mean, they will make money, of course, because it's, you know, it's a business. But in terms of the health prevention that vaccines bring to the community, I think it's definitely something that we have to take advantage of.
Oh, you have seen a vast improvement then in cases of, let's say, the flu, where people have been vaccinated. You see a significant difference in terms of the occurrence of flu.
Yes, and it's not so much sometimes the occurrence of the flu, but sometimes the intensity in which, you know, the disease expresses itself. You might still get some of the symptoms even when you had the flu vaccine, but it won't be as bad. So you'll feel, you know, you can go on. And I can give you my personal example. You know, I was sick last week and I had the vaccine earlier this year. And I, you know, I was going on with, you know, my daily activities without any problems. But so, you know, whether that was the case, you know, I can say because I never had a test for flu at that point. But it definitely brings some benefits to everyone.
Sure. And you have your children vaccinated as well?
Yeah.
And thank you. And quickly, the shingles vaccine, do you see that as being an effective way?
It reduces the incidence by a third of, you know, of having shingles. So, you know, the question comes, well, is that a lot? Is that too little of an improvement? I guess what I can say about it is that, you know, I've seen cases of shingles that patients are in severe pain. Yeah. And if that patient would have prevented that by having the vaccine, then that would have been much better. So
sure.
So that's why I promote that too.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling. Bye bye. 800-348-2551. Shingles, you had to have the chicken pox and then it comes out, is that it?
Right, exactly. It's a virus that stays dormant pretty much forever.
It's usually past 50, past 60. When does shingles?
The vaccine is for patients 60 or older. But it can, I've seen it in younger patients.
Yeah.
So.
And I've had a family member and it was terrible.
My dad had it almost a year ago, and up to this date, he still have some residual pain. It is painful.
The number to call is 800-348-2551. Ruth in West Hurley, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay, I'm calling because I recently got a blood test back from my gastroenterologist that says I'm likely to have an overgrowth of H. pylori bacteria and in my stomach, and they're going to take a look at that soon and learn more about that. And from what I've read about it, it seems like even if you treat it, you're likely to possibly get it again if your husband or kids or other people you might kiss or share a spoon with have it. Do you know much about that? Because my doctor said, oh, no, that's not how you get it. But when I read the Mayo Clinic, you know, website about H. pylori, it indicated that was like a likely way to get it and spread it. And so I was kind of thinking maybe my whole family should be checked out or treated, or wonder if you have any thoughts.
Well, to begin with, if they don't have any symptoms, most likely they don't have it. It's a bacteria that causes ulcers, gastric ulcers, and it's treated and it's treated with a course of certain antibiotics and other medications that you take for approximately 14 days or so.
Okay.
As far as I know, and you know, I'm not a gastroenterologist, but as far as I know, I don't think that's a way of getting it the way that you just previously described. And once again, just to reinforce that, if patients typically don't have symptoms of reflux or burning or abdominal pain, then there's very little to worry about having H. pylori.
Okay. Well, my husband does suffer from reflux, and my son occasionally as well. So that was partly why I was a little worried. So
I see.
With that, it might indicate checking it out. Couldn't hurt.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, typically we do some treatment, and if it doesn't get any better, then myself, I just refer to a gastroenterologist, and they can do, or I can order some tests and to see if the bacteria is present. But it, when I start thinking about it, it's more when we have treated the patient and we've done everything that we could do to avoid the symptoms of reflux, and patients continue to have symptoms. That's when I start thinking, there might be some H. pylori going on.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling 800-348-2551. So that causes ulcers. I guess the thinking used to be it was worry and stress. Can that cause ulcers?
No, I mean, it. Not that it can cause ulcers per se. It's just that, when we get worried and stressed, we probably can secrete a little bit more of acid inside the stomach. But the ulcer is present. If it's a bacteria, which is that was mentioned earlier, the H. pylori, then that's going to be the cause of the ulcers. And without the right treatment, it's not going to go away.
Dr. Pablo Lopez is with us, board-certified family medicine physician with Ellis Primary Care in Schenectady. We'll take more calls in a moment.
Support comes from Nathan Lantower Hospital, offering over 30 types of minimally invasive spine surgeries for patients suffering from back pain with Dr. Ja'an Shen, NLH.org. Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering weekend and week-long workshops for adults and teens in a farm setting. Registration now open for 2015 classes. Snowfarm.org. East Heaven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs. Massage for couples and individuals. EastHeaven.com. And High Meadow School, Stone Ridge, New York, working to engage learners and build knowledge through inquiry, creativity, and community service. Nursery through 8th grade, highmeadowschool.org.
This is Vox Pop, the number to call 800-348-2551. Schenectady, Marie, hi.
I'm here. Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Lopez. Are you in on McClellan Street or on Knott Street?
Knott Street.
Okay, question. I got a diabetic husband under good care for about 30 years. Endocrine group, which he'll go nameless, in Albany. Stopped taking his diabetic medicine, including insulin and all the rest of the stuff for hyperlipidemia, metabolic syndrome, proteinuria. I'll stop there. What can you predict? Eats very well. He's active. Smoker. He drinks. Kind of an outcast now, insofar as going back to the former doctor. I've tried, but he just refuses to take his medicine. What I get from the medical establishment is, Marie, you can't force him to take it. So, what possibly can I do? Again, he's got a couple of other chronic illnesses, and he does eat pretty well. Elevated sugar, too much sugar. I guess I'll leave it at that. So can you kind of prognosticate and give me some help here? He might. Could I know you're limited insofar as your own particular specialty.
Well, it's
family care. So what?
We do see a lot of diabetic patients. Actually, our office has earned a few awards when it comes to that. But it's very, when it comes to that, when it comes to compliance, it's very tough.
Sure
if,
it is.
If With diabetes, unfortunately, patients have a lot of control. So anyway, in general, but, you know, with diabetes, if you don't take care of it, then, you know, a million complications can come up.
He knows, and I know, much aware. I don't have a license, but you know where the hell, where I'm coming from.
Yeah, no, look, I understand.
Yeah, it's tough. Look, where you can't force him to take it, it's just it's a numbers game or an event that's going to happen. Either he loses his eyesight, limbs.
Those are complications that can arise from uncontrolled diabetes. Yes, you know, heart attack being, you know, one of the most concerning ones.
And he's a smoker. I guess he's going to be with one of those events where I don't know, just where the drinking and the smoking, and it's he's got COPD, et cetera, et cetera. Dr. Lopez, is there a chance that you might take a patient like him? It's complicated. I don't know, other than just to sit and bide my time and see what's going to happen. But he had all the numbers right on the money insofar as...
Doctor? Let's have the
patient. Hello, Dr. Lopez.
Yeah, let the doctor...
His numbers were all good.
Let the doctor answer the question. We want to move on here.
Okay.
I'll be happy to see him, of course.
So where are you again?
We're at 1201 Nuss Street, Suite 204.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. Lee in Ulster, go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's interesting listening to the last woman who was on. I grew up in a small town, one doctor, one guy my whole life, 0 to 18, one guy. He did a lot of counseling because he knew everybody in the family. Are family practitioners still, do you find it beneficial? Is that still something that goes on? Because I keep getting shuffled to specialists as an adult, and it doesn't feel personal, to say the least.
I understand what you're saying. No, I try to keep my patients as much as I can. That's why I mentioned earlier today, in terms of, you know, I do as much as I can as a family practitioner. When I understand that it's out of my expertise, then I will refer. But I try to do, and most of us, I think that at least the ones that I work with, try to do as much as we can, because it's great to have that, you know, holistic and whole view of a patient along with their family. So yes, I mean, I think that's a great point that you bring right now.
I had an ache in high school when I was, you know, on a team that he understood to be an injury I'd had when I was a kid. I miss that in the kind of doctoring I get now.
Now, and I'm very lucky to have patients that I delivered when I was in residency that still my patients nowadays. So it's a lot of fun, and it's great. It's very rewarding, like I mentioned before.
Thanks. I hope you stay where you are long enough to have that history with people. That would be great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Thank you very much. You don't look that old. Not be taking care of babies that are now adults, really?
Well, not adults, but getting there.
800-348-2551. Let's talk to Nancy in Schenectady.
Hi. I was wondering, Ellis has a facility on McClellan Street as well as the one on Knott Street. I didn't know if either or both of those are particularly intended as resources for lower income people, or if they are open for any income levels and accept different insurance plans or that type of question. I was just wondering.
Yeah, we see everyone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no limitation there. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of just trying to, you know, get there and try to find a doctor for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for calling. 800-348-2551. It is Medical Monday on WAMC, and Robin in Saratoga.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question about going back to shots, immunizations, shingles shots. I have multiple sclerosis. I was given a script for MS. I recently saw a neurology specialist and told her about that. And it's a live vaccine. I'm not on any immunodepressant drugs. And she wasn't sure, and I haven't talked to my own family physician yet about whether or not I should be taking this. How would you deal with this as a family practitioner And would I be sent to a, some kind of, disease specialist?
ID specialist, like infectious disease specialist. If you're not taking any immunosuppressants, I don't think it will be a problem for you to have the vaccine. I will have to double check that on you, to be honest with you, because I'm not completely sure if it will be a contraindication with multiple sclerosis. I mean, it's something that I personally don't treat because it's mostly a neurological problem. But from the primary care point of view, if you're not in any immunosuppressants or any biologic agents, I don't think it will be an issue. But once again, this is something that I will have to double check.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you've had shingles once, can you get it again?
Yes.
Yeah. Very likely, is it?
It can happen. I mean, it's not like it's tough to predict, but it can happen. It's just, once again, it's a virus that it's there and can get reactivated, mm-hmm. and you can get it again.
Once you've had it, does the shot stop it?
It reduces the incidence. It won't stop it. Mm-hmm. You can still get it, but it reduces the incidence. I believe it's somewhere in between a third and a 50%. Mm-hmm. So something like that.
800-348-2551. Dr. Pablo Lopez is a board-certified family medicine physician with Ellis Primary Care in Schenectady. Our guest today on Medical Monday. Lorraine in Glens Falls, go ahead.
Hi. Was it Lorraine you said?
Yes.
Hi. Dr. Lopez, I am 66, and I thought I'd have the shingles shot, except that my mother told me I never had chicken pox, and so I had my titer checked, and the titer says that I never had chicken pox, and the CDC says that even if you don't have a titer for it, there's a chance that I must have had a very slight chance. But Merck has never done any tests on what happens to a person if they get the shot, and they, in fact, have never had chicken pox. Do you have any recommendations for me? I'm afraid to get it, but I'm afraid not to get it.
Well, I think also the other side of getting the shot is because as we get older, getting chickenpox becomes worse. Just put it that way. I mean, it's just the symptoms are worse. Everything it's more complicated. So by getting the shingles shot, you will reduce the incidence of getting, the virus. Whether Merck has done studies with patients that have not had chickenpox or the disease per se. I mean, I don't know how that will affect. I mean, the problem will be that, what's going to be the final result if no one has, sat down and studied that. But in my opinion, you will be reducing the incidence of getting chickenpox. So hence, the problem, won't be as bad, like I said, because with age, it tends to be a little bit more aggressive.
So the shot would not give me chicken pox?
No.
Okay.
Prevent.
And it would not give me shingles?
No. It will just, what you do with immunizations, what you do is you create antibodies against that. So
right. We
inject what it is, something similar or the virus, mm-hmm. and then but it's not active to the point that you'll be sick, but okay. your body will react to it. So when you're exposed to that virus, you won't be as sick because your body will be able to fight it.
Right. Thank you, doctor.
No problem.
One thing I've always wondered about doctors, how do you not get sick? You see so many.
Oh, we do get sick.
Yeah. But I mean, but you see so many sick people. Do you always have a cold or always?
No. Well, I mean, also, universal precautions of, washing your hands and, trying not to get exposed as much to mm-hmm. it. But, yeah, we do get sick. So.
There was that that idea a few years ago, the doctors shouldn't wear ties. Do you remember that one? Because they spread illnesses. You don't have a tie on, I noticed.
No, I don't.
You don't want to spread the... Was there any real basis or fact to that?
I think there was a study done, and I want to say in England mm-hmm. about that. And it kind of showed some increase, bacteria around that, but I just don't wear one.
800-348-2551. Jim is in Pennsylvania. Jim.
When you were talking about latent viruses in vapor, I was wondering how they know for sure that disinfectants will actually kill viruses in vitro, say something like fomites or long periods of time or, similar to the latent viruses in humans.
I'm not sure if I understood your question. You're asking if how in vitro they have tested viruses in order, you know, how to treat viruses that will be latent?
Yeah, they know for sure that the disinfectants, will take care of the latent viruses that may be in vitro.
I'm not sure. I don't know if I can answer that question. I mean, that's something that's very specific to research in that type of field. Maybe, you know, a virologist will be a good person to ask that question, because I don't perform that type of research.
Thank you for calling, Jim. 800-348-2551. I guess they always leave themselves the out. It kills 99.9% of all germs, Lysol or all the disinfectants. Just in case someone sneaks through, they're not going to take the blame. James, go ahead. James in Monroe.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Great show. I have two small questions. One, I had listened to the radio and a while back, and they said there's a vaccine that handles, it's a very strong flu vaccine that you don't normally get that handles more than one type of flu. And I was wondering if that's true and what would be the name of it. And number two is that I'm over 60 now and I've lost all my energy. And I hear these commercials all the time that they're going to, you take this product and you lose your body belly fat and you're going to get your energy back. I was wondering if that's true.
Well, question one, there is a flu vaccine that has, it's a little bit more, I mean, potent might be the word, but I'm not sure if that's the right word to use right now, that has certain strains, and we use that for a certain amount of certain patients with certain things or with elderly patients. So, yes, that is true. There's a vaccine. I think that's available pretty much everywhere. Second question is, all these products that are out there, they're really... You know, they can give you a little bit of energy for a short period of time, but, you know, it's not like you're going to be running a marathon every day. They're just, how can I say this? You know, when patients come and they come pretty often complaining of lack of energy, you know, we do a battery of tests, and based on that, then we can decide, oh, yeah, you know, maybe your thyroid is going, you know, it's the problem, or maybe you have anemia, or maybe you have a little bit of vitamin D deficiency. So we test certain things. Males, we sometimes check testosterone levels. So what I do when I get that complaint is I run that battery of tests, and based on that, then we'll come up with a diagnosis and treat that problem.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, then.
No problem.
Thank you very much. I don't know if he was referring to the testosterone products you see on TV. They'll turn you into a manly man, you know. Probably
maybe.
Not, right? 800-348-2551. We're talking... Family Medicine with Dr. Pablo Lopez, board-certified family medicine physician with Ellis Primary Care in Schenectady. 800-348-2551, the number to call. And let's talk to Mark in Salem.
Hi, guys. Merry Christmas and
thank you.
Happy Hanukkah. I'm 62, and I was wondering about the pneumonia shot. It used to be that they were 65 or older. I don't know what... it is now. Is it recommended, and how effective is it?
It's very effective, and it continues to be 65 or older. You can still give it at a younger age if patients have certain chronic conditions, and the list is actually long. But that's something. You know, for instance, I had a patient this morning. He has chronic illnesses, including diabetes, and heart issues. So he. His age was 60, I want to say 61, and he got his first shot today, his pneumonia shot. Now, I say first shot because when you give a first pneumonia shot prior to age of 65, then you have to do another booster again after 5 years after the first one. So,
I take care of my mother, who is going on 83 and is recovering from colon cancer surgery. And is in a weakened state, and I'm concerned that if I got pneumonia or something, that she might pick it up. That would be my main reason for it. Does that make any sense, or should I just go ahead and wait till I'm 65?
Well, looking at the data that I saw this morning, I don't think that there's a recommendation for caregivers to have the pneumonia shot. I don't think so, because if your bottom line is that the one that needs to be vaccinated is her. If she's immunized, then we're good, because then she'll have the shot, and then
she was immunized at in her 60s, but I don't think she's been updated since then. So
okay.
She probably could use it. Okay, well that answers my question. Thank you.
All right,
thank you for calling. 800-348-2551. This is Medical Monday on WAMC's Vox Pop. More calls in a moment.
Support comes from New York Oncology Hematology, offering clinical research trials towards FDA approval of anti-cancer drugs. When experience matters most, NewYorkOncology.com for a list of clinical trials. The Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting a range of programming for the arts and community, thelinda.org. And Ellis Medicine, providing comprehensive cardiac care and preventative heart disease screenings for women, ellismedicine.org.
The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Dr. Lopez, we touched on this right at the beginning of the program, but Mark has written us an email asking, what is the difference between a primary care physician and an internal medicine physician? How can patients tell which one of these two types of doctors is best for them?
I don't think there's a way of telling which one is best, but it's more of an age group, assignment of patients. If mm-hmm. Like I mentioned before, us as family practitioners, we can see from newborns, some family practitioners actually will do prenatal care and deliveries. That's how we are trained. Versus internal medicine, it's mostly adult medicine. That's the main difference between both of us.
When you say adult, 20 over, 30, 21, 40?
21, 18.
Yeah. Not necessarily geriatric, but...
Yeah, right.
Okay. And another email here, I have seen my wife struggle through a case of shingles. Why is the vaccination limited to people above the seemingly arbitrary age of 60? Is there a reason for 60?
It's just the studies have been done with that patient population mm-hmm. at that age. I don't think they have studied patients younger than that. So as of it now, that's why it only has that the FDA has approved it for patients 60 or older.
And you say you can get shingles... at any age?
Well, I have seen patients, with shingles earlier in life, not at age 60, but, why exactly the age of 60 was actually taken as the mm-hmm. cutoff, I don't know. The only thing that I can say is just the studies were done with that age population.
The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Family Medicine today on Medical Monday with family medicine physician at Ellis Primary Care, Dr. Pablo Lopez, at 800-348-2551. I know this is something of a battle that physicians have been fighting for several years now, and that's trying to convince patients that antibiotics do not cure everything. You still see that people coming in, I need an antibiotic, doctor.
Yeah,
and,
you see
and
that.
You can do a lot of harm, actually, can't you?
Yes, you see that very, very often. You still, please give me this, give me that. That's what helped in the past. And so you have to do a lot of education mm-hmm. when you have those cases, which, like you said, and I say, they're very, very frequent. Understandable, to the point that, that's the medication that they had in the past and they made them feel better, but that's not the case mm-hmm. most of the time.
Yeah, and an antibiotic won't do a thing for a cold, will it?
No.
No,
it won't.
It has to be, it only fights bacteria, not virus.
Correct.
800-348-2551. Jim is in Malta. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't expect to get on so quickly. Yeah, hi, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 70 years old, and until recently, say in the past year, I've been very active, running, hiking, working on some of the high peaks, skiing. And about a year or so ago, I started to develop pain in my hip and leg just above the hip, and that's when this whole sequence began, where I went to an orthopedic surgeon and he did an MRI and injections, and they said, no, you have stenosis, which I had been diagnosed with years before. So they sent me to the spine specialist, had another MRI, got an injection in my spine, that didn't help, sent me back to the hip guy, got another injection, on and on for a year. And finally, the last part doctor I saw says, you know, it could be a lot of things. I suggest you just don't hike uphill anymore. And that was the end of it. So I happened to coincide this with my semi-annual physical with my GP, and he thinks it's a tissue problem with my bursar, and he referred me to a physiologist. And I saw the physiologist, and he has me do leg raises all the time, which doesn't help. And he's saying it's really kind of hard to tell what's wrong. So I'm just wondering, is this a get to a point where you just stop and live with it? Which basically, that's the last thing I was told.
Well, there are certain things that you have to, you know, at some point live with it, and one of them is, you know, arthritis. You mentioned something about bursitis, and bursitis is, it's an inflammatory process that typically is treated with either oral anti-inflammatory medications like, you know, ibuprofen or naproxen, things you can get over the counter, or if that doesn't help, then you can get injections, which you already had a few.
Yeah, I've had 7 injections in 12 months.
Oh, wow. So, you know, I guess the thing right now is that we don't know exactly what's going on, right?
Yeah, that's the problem. Is that the last time I saw the doctor, he said, well, just don't do that anymore. Reminded me of the joke where the guy goes to a doctor and says, my arm hurts when I do this. And the doctor says, well, don't do that anymore. $10, please. And I was so frustrated because he
sometimes
said it could be
a lot of things.
I just walked out. And
I just thought,
at this point, I'm ready to give up.
I mean, I certainly understand the frustration of not being able to do, you know, all the activities that you were doing before. But I guess the point is, you know, if we don't know exactly what it is right now, I guess, you know, still got to look around, see what else can be. And if at the end, you know, we find something that could treat, then yeah, then we could got to treat it.
Yes, the problem after like over a year, they still don't know what it is. But I guess, as my daughter said to me, you're just getting old, so.
Well, that's part of life, too.
All right, well, thank you. I was just.
No problem.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. And it's Nancy in Belchertown. Nancy.
Hi. Thank you for being available. The other gentleman who called wondering how to best take care of himself to take care of his elderly mother, are there one or two steps that a caretaker really, really needs to be up on so that they don't pass anything to the elderly people that they're taking care of? If you already have a flu shot and a pneumonia shot, is there anything besides keeping your wits about you and trying not to get frustrated? It's a hard one, I know.
No, well, I mean, it comes down to preventive medicine. So it's kind of what we do, too, at the office, you know, from our own, you know, keeping your hands clean and, you know, that kind of general universal precautions that we use to avoid infection. When it comes to your vaccinations, yeah, you know, make sure that you're up to date with what you need and make sure that the person that you're taking care of is up to date with what he or she needs. And that's pretty much, you know, what we can do. You know, you can't. Unfortunately, we cannot put ourselves in bubbles or the patient in a bubble and then, because it, you know, will be very difficult to treat them. But but that's kind of what we can do is just use basic universal precautions, keep up to date with immunizations, be up to date with immunizations, and you know, hope for the best.
Exactly. I just wanted to be sure I touched all bases.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid the hardest thing is one that you can't help with, which is the psychological when you have dementia and Alzheimer's.
It's a very difficult situation. And the other thing is, you know, patients, regardless whether you do your best to keep yourself all these infections, you know, they will get sick. So one thing that you have to consider is that, you know, and remember is that don't blame yourself. You know, don't blame yourself because your patient, the patient that you're taking care of, gets sick. You're doing the best that you can. So that's it.
Yep, that's got to be a key. Don't blame yourself.
Okay. Right.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
I appreciate it. All right.
Okay.
Also, take care of the caretaker as well.
Right.
800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Is there anything you can do to boost not just your own immune system, but the immune system of, say, someone you're taking care of? You see, you've heard of vitamin C. There are these powders you see sold over the market. supposedly boosting your immune system. Is there
most of them are filled with antioxidants and vitamin C, which is one of them. Good thing about vitamin C is that you cannot get intoxicated with vitamin C. Whatever you drink in excess or you take in excess of vitamin D, you eliminate. So that's a good thing. Keeping a healthy diet.
Yeah.
And it's not rocket science to know what's healthy and what's not, and try to be as active as you can, as tolerated. That will build up your immune system, and you'll be as healthy as you can.
And someone in their 80s or 90s, their immune system is pretty weak just from age?
It's weaker. Yeah, it's weaker than your younger adult.
So they're perhaps more open to the colds and pneumonia, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. That's why, one of the questions that we had earlier today was about a specific flu shot that carries a little bit more strains than others. And typically we recommend that one to older patients.
800-348-2551. Ariel in Springfield.
Hi. I'm 25 and I have latent TB. And so the recommendation was to go on antibiotics, which I know is 9 months. And they said that if I choose not to go on antibiotics, that the TB would just kind of stay latent. But if my immune system was compromised later in life, then I would not be able to take the antibiotics after a certain age. I don't recall what age that was. And I'm just wondering the pros and cons, because I'm not comfortable with being on antibiotics for 9 months. But also down the line, I don't want my health to be compromised.
Right, correct. And this comes down to, preventive medicine. It sounds a lot to be 9 months on antibiotic. Like, wow, it's almost a year. But these antibiotics are pretty good. We've used them for a long time to treat TB, and they do work. And exactly what you mentioned before, you have to look down the line. If you don't treat it now, what can happen if you don't get that treatment now? If it gets manifested later on in life, then the complications can be worse. So what you're trying to do is prevent that episode in the late years. I have to say, from my personal experience in patients that I've seen with TB that have no symptoms at all, but they are diagnosed and get treated, they do well during and after the course. It really doesn't bring any, very minimal side effects to treatment. At least, that's what I've seen from my personal experience. So I think that will be my recommendation. Just, once again, I know that 9 months sounds like a lot, but you'll be fine, at least from what I've seen.
Yeah. Yep. And then because I know that a lot of people all over the world live with latent TB and it never comes up, but is the likelihood, like if I were to develop cancer or some other immunocompromising something or other.
Right. And that's a good point, actually. If God forbid you develop something that requires you to have treatment that is an immunomodulator drug that will actually reduce your immune response, then it becomes a real issue. Some other doctors, for instance, if they're going to start treatment, and I mean other doctors, meaning other specialists like rheumatology or other specialists that will treat, or hematology and oncology that will use, either immunomodulators or chemotherapy or, that kind of stuff that will reduce the way that your body reacts to an infection or immune system, they will test you for TB prior to starting treatment. And like I said, God forbid, but let's say that happens to you in later years in life, then your treatment will be limited if you didn't get treatment now.
Right. And just one more thing on the topic. I forget what the cutoff age was, but they said they wouldn't treat after a certain age. Do you know why that is and what age that is?
I'm not sure about that one. No, I'm not sure. That's a good question for a pulmonologist. I will have to double check on that one for you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Is there a lot of TB out there, latent or otherwise?
It's not a lot, but you have to be careful sometimes because, we have so many patients or so many, people coming from other countries in which they do immunize patients or give them immunization mm-hmm. for TB, which in this country we don't, that come here and then they have a positive TB testing. So in that case, what we do is we monitor them regularly with, when I say regularly, we do x-rays, but we don't do the typical skin test.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, it's not that frequent, but you'll see that every now and then.
Ariel's was latent, which means it's in there, but it's not doing anything. How did they spot that? Blood test? Or?
Right, yeah. Yep.
Okay. 800-348-2551, Raymond in Great Barrington. Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I didn't call about this, but in my experience, if you take large doses of vitamin C, if you have a stomach, I don't know, I'd call it hyperacidity or whatever, mm-hmm. it can really aggravate that. And moving on, just a comment. My wife is a family practitioner in a very small town in far northern Maine, where she does everything. Great. She calls it birth to death care.
Yes, that's right.
And people so often confuse general practitioner with family practice.
They do. You're right.
And as far as I know, a general practitioner is someone who has done no residencies. They typically, people that I know, join the service to get their MD and left with no residencies, and they're called general practitioners.
Yes, and you're correct with it.
Mm-hmm. To me, there's a huge difference. Not intending to put anyone down, but
yeah, the right. difference is between, you know, when we finish medical school, then we go to residency and we do a family medicine training residency, which is 3 years of training. And general practitioners, like you mentioned, is, you know, people that doctors that graduate from medical school and then they don't go into further training after that.
Pat, we have just about a minute left. Pat, can you make it a short question?
Yes. My mother had German measles when she was in her first trimester with me, and I've been exposed to German measles many times and have never gotten them. Is it possible that I had an immunity from that German measles that she had?
I guess, you know, the possibility might be there, but in order to confirm that, blood work needs to be done to check for titers.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. They still call it German measles? That's what they called it when I was a kid.
They're different kind of measles. They're
German?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that the same as rubella?
There's rubella and rubiola. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the difference between them.
And there's always a concern about exposing a pregnant woman to German measles. Yeah. And this happened in this case, and it seems last caller.
And varicella, too. I mean, there are certain viruses that when you expose patients during their pregnancy, mm-hmm. it can be dangerous, but, you know, once again, we go back to immunizations. You know, we immunize early in life for varicella, which can be a very, very dangerous infection during pregnancy. It has very bad effects, if you want to put it that way, with the newborn.
Do kids still get all that stuff? I had the mumps, German measles, chicken pox, I mean, all sorts of things.
Rarely you see mumps.
Rarely?
Very rarely.
Yeah.
Varicella every now and then. You don't see it that often. And measles, I mean, it's not that often. Yeah. You don't see it as much. But once again, you know, we go back to mm-hmm. immunizations. We're very proactive with them, so we've been able to almost eradicate, or we don't see them that often.
Well, you're just about out of time. I'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Pablo Lopez, for joining us today, and my apologies to those left on the line. Support for WAMC comes from Topperson, developed to provide relief for those living in pain associated with neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Topperson.com. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy, to Colleen O'Connell for answering the phones, our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Brian Shields. Thanks again for joining us on Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamsa.org/VoxPop. Stay tuned now for a news update.